In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Today's gospel was the inspiration for the children's song, "This Little Light of Mine, I'm Gonna Let It Shine." Hide it under a bushel? No, I'm gonna let it shine. Beloved song. Today also happens to be the Sunday celebrating the fathers of the Fourth Ecumenical Council in Chalcedon. These holy fathers met to clarify the Christian faith, which was being confused. There were some who claimed that Christ had only one nature, that his humanity, had been either dissolved into his divinity or somehow combined with it such that it was subdued, overemphasizing his divine nature so that he was not of the same nature with you and I. But also the council sought painstakingly to clarify that neither is Christ two different persons, right? One being God and one being human, but one and the same Christ. And we see this in the definition that came out of this council. I'll read just two portions from it. These fathers clarified that Christ is one substance with the Father as regards his Godhead, and at the same time, of one substance with us as regards his manhood, that he is like us in all respects except for sin. And then it goes on that we believe in one and the same Christ, Son and Lord, only begotten, recognized in two natures, without confusion, without change, and without separation. So there's this healthy tension between the one person in Christ with the two perfect whole natures of the divinity and the humanity. And the fathers got together to do this important work so that we might have one light and unity rather than one source of light and another or several others of confusion. And it is this one light of Christ with which we also are illumined. And the gospel encourages us, let your light so shine before men. But what does it mean but that the light must first be in you if it is to shine out from you and in me? The light of Christ must fill and enlighten every part of me, and that I cannot hold any part of me back to keep in darkness. There cannot be both light and dark at the same time. We are further encouraged by the gospel saying, you are the light of the world. We sometimes wonder why the world might seem sort of dark, sometimes very dark. We might be tempted to point the finger at someone else, at something else, something external to me. But I first have to look at myself. If I am the light of the world, why is the world not enlightened? Is it because Christ's light in me has been dimmed, covered, hidden? Because at times, perhaps I love the darkness a little bit more than the light. Or perhaps more often, have I tried to replace his light in me with my own darkness, yet all the while still calling it the light? We read in John's gospel that the light shone in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. This speaks of Christ's descent into Hades and his victory there. In the Paschal homily, we read that hell took a body and face to face met God. It took earth and encountered heaven. It took what it saw, but crumbled at what it had not seen. It is this same victory, when we unite ourselves to Christ, that darkness, because darkness has no power in itself, in the presence of light it flees. And every time we struggle to live in Christ's light, we have a little Paschal victory won inside of us. So if we desire to be that lamp which gives light to the whole house, we first have to look at what we have allowed to fill our souls and turn away from any darkness of passions in our life. The epistle mentions factious and stupid controversies, quarrels of the law, things which are unprofitable and futile. Don't bother. Such a person who engages in this is perverse, sinful, and self-condemned, St. Paul tells us. A few weeks ago in the Gospel, I think it was 2 weeks ago, we read that the eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is sound, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is not sound, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. And yet, when we have that light of Christ living in us, something wonderful happens. That light banishes any darkness that we have harbored there. That same light that Moses encountered in the burning bush, the light that shone from Christ at his transfiguration, causing his disciples to fall down on their faces because it was so strong. That same light of God dwells in us. And whatever darkness we have previously invited in is caused to vanish. When we are reconciled to God in confession, we remove that bushel of sin which has been covering and obscuring that brilliant light of God in us. And without that cover of sin obscuring the light, Christ's light is then able to shine forth from us and enlightening the whole world around us. Because there is no such thing as darkness, only the absence of light. Again, on Pascha, we sing at the beginning of the service, "Come, receive the light from that light that is never overtaken by night. Come, glorify Christ, who is risen from the dead." It starts up here at the altar with one single candle. And then we come and light all the other candles from it. It's such a beautiful experience to see this one light of Christ illumine the entire room. The church is meant to be a beacon in the surrounding community, to be that light which enlightens everyone around. St. Paul instructed his disciple Titus, the bishop of the island of Crete, that the people should apply themselves to good deeds so as to help cases of urgent need and to not be unfruitful. In most cases, our parish of Saints Peter and Paul, often known as the Gold Dome Church, this phrase carries with it a relatively positive image of love for our neighbor. However, we can cause that light to shine even more clearly. And we still have work to do. To remove any sinful thing that limits my witness to my neighbors. And when we partner our struggle against sin with God's love and mercy, the light of Christ shines so clearly in us that all darkness is banished from our hearts. And so, this is at least my prayer and effort, and I hope it is yours as well, to let Christ's light so shine in me, in this church, in this valley, that our neighbors have no choice when they encounter Christ's light in us, but to glorify our Father who is in heaven. Amen.